Ramsey TV.
Did you know that the scripture encourages us to imagine things? I mentioned it yesterday, and I wasn't joking. To look off in a dreamy way and to, in a way, in a sense, in measure, remove yourself from the world and from your trials. Remove yourself while you're in the trial from the trial. This is Martin Zender from the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. Today I'm going to rub my nose, satisfy itches, and then I'm going to flex my imagination. But first I'm going to tell you why I'm doing it. I'm going to flex my imagination and tell you what I think the celestial world looks like. I'm going to tell you what I think it's comprised of. And just when you may think that Martin's really going overboard, he's going above and beyond scriptural revelation, I am going to tell you before I launch that my fancy, my imagination, is based on a scriptural revelation. It's not like I don't have a foundation for what I'm going to tell you today about how I picture the celestial realms. Yes, I'm talking about above the heavens. I'm talking about the third heaven where Paul went but wasn't allowed to speak of the things he heard or saw. I'm talking about that realm where John, in the book of Revelation, doesn't even go to. He describes the New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven. But what is that New Jerusalem based on? Gonna get to that. Yesterday, I talked about looking away, looking off to the inaugurator and perfecter of our faith. And that came from the book of Hebrews. And I said, I take this literally. I mean, you can take it either way. You can look off in your mind. You can be attending to things in the world, but at the same time, you're, quote, looking off, unquote, in that you're not 100% concentrating on the things of the world, and they're growing dim to you. You still attend to them, but you don't live or die by them. Or you can literally look off like this. I demonstrated it yesterday. Here it is again. Put your eyes toward the heaven with that dreamy, faraway look. And I gave you scripture for that yesterday. Now, today, I'm going to give you more scripture. This is even better. This is even richer. This is even more direct. And it is my scriptural foundation for exercising my imagination. And here we go. It is Hebrews 11, verses 24 through 27. Hebrews 11, 24. By faith, Moses, becoming great, disowns the term son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now that was a high term. That was a great position to be in Egypt. But he preferred rather to be maltreated with the people of God than to have a temporary enjoyment of sin, deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. How in the world? I'm going to finish with that, but let's stop here for a second. The reproach of Christ greater than all the treasures of Egypt. You remember those pirate movies where they put their hands in the treasure chest, and they, I don't know how, what noises pirates make. You can do it better than me. I don't know. But they put their hands in the coins, and they, I mean, the treasures of Egypt, beyond gold, beyond silver, beyond any precious thing that humans can imagine, right along the lines of Solomon, not as great, but right up there where you own everything. The whole world is practically at your disposal. How can you embrace or desire or prefer the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. There must be some reward to be had with following as a result of the reproach of Christ. There is. And it's that looking off thing. Because Moses, we're going to see here, well, let me read it. I'll show you what he looked off to. And it's the same thing Christ looked off to. I told you what it was. I said Christ, well, the scripture said Christ looked off for the joy set before him, endures the cross. I suggested to you that he was seeing a vision of himself at the right hand of God. Stephen saw Christ standing at the right hand of God. And it's a glorious picture. But behind it, and this is where we all need practice in wrapping our heads around this, is a reward. It's not a reward for believing in Christ. That's all a gift. It's just a reward. It's just something God wants to lavish on you. Again, it's not a result of earning it. Well, let me take this back. While salvation is a gift, and the glories of being a member of the body of Christ are unspeakable, there is even more riches available for suffering reproach for the sake of Christ's name. This goes along with 2 Timothy 2, 12. If we suffer with him, we shall be, you know, glorified with him also. So there is glory associated with reproach and with suffering. Christ was on the cross being crucified when this joy was set before him. And because of the suffering, because of the reproach, he had a greater name after the crucifixion than he had before. Greater name, greater position, greater fame. So anytime you share the evangel with somebody, anytime you send somebody a link to one of my videos or somebody else's videos, and you're treated with silence, you're treated with reproach, you're treated with disdain, they think you're nuts. That is suffering reproach. And you can get out of it. All you got to do is go to church. All you got to do is join them. All you got to do is turn away from the crazy little videos that you watch. But you don't. You won't. Why? Because the reproaches of Christ are more valuable to you than even the acceptance of your family. Some of you are suffering the rejection of family members. This is incredible pain. Terrible pain. And Moses felt it. Christ felt it. All the apostles felt it. Paul felt it. You're in good company because all these people, Moses here, all these people, they didn't do it for nothing. They didn't do it for nothing. This is what I want you to see. There is a reward, and there is nothing wrong. In fact, there's everything right with imagining and thinking about a reward for reproach. It's not a reward for believing, because that's just, it's a wonderful thing. Those who have been designated beforehand for membership in the body of Christ, they will believe, because belief is a gift. God will give it to you. That's what I call your standard issue member of Christ's body status. It's like winning the lottery. It's beyond any wealth of this earth. But there's something even greater than that, and it comes with being humiliated, of suffering, being rejected. And it doesn't have to be like you have to be crucified or you have to be stoned. I mean, that would be nice if you could work that. That would be great. Be great. But in the absence of that, the rejection of people, hurtful words, people thinking you're nuts, family members rolling their eyes at you, that's it. You're scoring big. You're scoring big. Let's go back to good old Moses. He left Egypt. Well, not yet. By faith, Moses, becoming great, disowns the term son of Pharaoh's daughter, preferring rather to be maltreated with the people of God than to have a temporary enjoyment of sin, deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches. Christ hadn't even been born yet. Christ hadn't even been born. How can Moses be suffering the reproach of Christ? It's looking forward to the reproach of Christ. And anyone who is plugged in, seeing the suffering of Moses as a man of God, it anticipates the suffering of Christ. And what is it involved with? Turning your back from the treasures of the world and turning your eyes outward toward heaven. But here's the phrase. Listen to this phrase. This is what I'm making this show about. It has to do with what I said yesterday, looking off. In fact, the words are used here again. Listen to this. Deeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked away to the reward. That is scripture. Hebrews 11:26. Moses looked away to the reward. It was not just a vision of greatness, it was a reward. He was going to get something, and he wanted it, and he lusted after it, because he knew it was better than the trinkets of Egypt, and he was willing to suffer for it. How do you know that it's greater than the trinkets of Egypt, Moses? Because he had a spiritual instinct. God has to give that revelation. Now we have such an advantage in that we have the scripture. We have the accounts of these people, of Joseph going into slavery, becoming rich, of Christ coming down, suffering evil as a malefactor and becoming rich beyond even the wealth he had before the world was. And we're in that pattern. Folks, we are in that pattern. And he looked away to the reward. And what did he look away to? Visions. Well, now watch this. Maybe I shouldn't have said visions, because I don't want anybody to get any Pentecostal ideas where we're going to literally see stuff. Where unless God shows us himself, unless Jesus Christ shows up in my bedroom at the foot of my bed, unless I hear a voice, then I'm not going to be a believer. I don't mean that kind of vision, not the Pentecostal type. God's not doing that today. He's training us to walk by faith, not perception. I'm talking about the imagination. And Martin, you don't have a verse for that. Well, here it comes. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the fury of the king, for he is staunch as seeing the invisible. There it is. Moses was staunch as seeing the invisible, as seeing it. He doesn't see it. It's as he's seeing the invisible, but he's so persuaded of it. He's so sure of it. I mean, this guy did see the bush burn up. No, he didn't. No, that was later. Yeah. So the guy's going on total faith here. Maybe he saw the sun going up, the sun coming down. He thinks, oh, God's pretty powerful. I want in on this. I want a piece of that action. So he, as seeing the invisible. If that's not a scriptural phrase for using the imagination, I don't know what is the imagination. That's what this is, as seeing the invisible. So in this case, I think the guy is literally looking up, literally looking into heaven. Well, that's where Christ is. Aw, you can't, Martin, so sweet. He believes that Jesus Christ is literally in heaven, and there's a throne in heaven, and we're all going to heaven. Well, yeah. There's two spheres, ladies and gentlemen, heaven and earth. If it ain't earth, it's heaven. I was going to give you those terms, wasn't I? Uranos, epi-Uranos. Heaven and on heavens. There's heavens, the atmosphere that we breathe, and there's on heavens. There's a realm above the heavens. It's called the celestial realm. Concordant translates epi-Uranos, on heaven, celestial. And we're talking real things. We're talking real rewards. We're talking real glory. And so since here I'm being encouraged as seeing the invisible, I'm going to go for it here. And I'm going to tell you what I think the celestial world looks like. Because if I engage you with this, it'll make it easier for you to imagine it, to see it. It'll become more real, and it'll be a lovely thing to look away to. As seeing the invisible, I'm going to paint the invisible for you right now. Because as you go through your day today, tomorrow, the next day, I want you to see it. I see it. I picture this stuff. And here's our boy Moses doing the same thing. Jesus Christ on the cross did the same thing. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. What joy? I don't see any joy. Well, he did. As seeing the invisible. It was invisible to other people. Maybe it was even invisible to him, but he knew it was there. But I think it was visible to him. Stephen being stoned. He literally sees Jesus Christ. standing at the right hand of God. Nobody else can see it. Because we're the ones being picked out. We're the ones being separated from the rest of the world for these things. All right, I'm going to give you a key verse here, and which will explain, help you understand why I feel justified in what I'm about to do. And that is Hebrews 8, verses 4 and 5. Are you ready for this? I don't think you are. Well, here it comes. Hang on to your coffee. Don't drink right now. Set the mug down. Okay? Set your mug down. I don't want you to be in the middle of a sip of hot coffee when I tell you this. Hebrews 8, verse 4. Indeed, then, if he, namely Jesus Christ, if he were on earth, he would not even be a priest, there being those who offer approach presents according to the law, who, by an example and hang with me. I know. It's tough wording here, tough sledding, but wait. Who, by an example and shadow, are offering the divine service of the celestials. Wait, divine service, the stuff with the temple, that's what the divine service is. The priests have their ritual. They wear their priestly garments. They go in on a certain day at a certain time. They wave the incense. They wash. They baptize. They sacrifice. They go from one part of the temple to another, into the Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant is, and God gave specific directions to Moses how to build this thing. This is all the divine service. But this, those who are offering the divine service of the celestials, what? Is there divine service? Is there some sort of temple system above the atmosphere in the realm that we can't see, on top of outer space, on top of that blackness and that space junk that we see? Sorry, not all of it's space junk. The comets are space junk. The stars aren't. Is there a divine service of the celestials? Well, apparently there is. Let me continue. Don't drink that coffee yet. Verse 5. According as Moses has been apprised, that is, informed, when about to be completing the tabernacle. For see, he is averring, God, capital H, is averring, that is to state strongly, to Moses, quote, you shall be making all in accord with the model shown you in the mountain. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, he saw a model. He based his little sticks and curtains and little poles of the earthly tabernacle. It was based on a model. Let me just say that the construction of the tabernacle on earth is to this celestial model what the lamb, the literal lamb, is to the Son of God. It is such a sticks and super glue and duct tape operation. As glorious as it appeared on earth, it is sticks and Elmer's glue and duct tape compared to the model that was shown to Moses on the mountain. It was a model of celestial service, of the divine service of the celestials. And he built everything in accord with instructions, literal instructions. This guy, Moses, was on a literal mountain. You can go to it today, Mount Sinai. While he was there, we know that the law came by mediation of messengers, that is, angels. Angels were the go-betweens between God and humanity. They came to Moses and they showed him, I don't know how, but they showed him a model. And the model was, I'm convinced, if it's a model of celestial service, then it is of a world we have never seen. And Moses saw it and he said, make it in accord with what you see. Moses probably looks at the thing and he says, there are no materials on earth that could build anything like that. And the angels would have said, do the best you can. Use what we gave you. When John, in Revelation 21, sees the New Jerusalem coming out of heaven, what was it doing in heaven? What was a city named Jerusalem doing in heaven? Was it a part of the divine service of the celestials? Of course it was. There's a whole system of worship there. There are ministers, ministering messengers, angels. There's a system of worship. So at the tail end of the show, I'm almost at the end. I'm almost like, I want to tell you all kinds of things, but look at my time. Who cares? All right, we're gonna forget about the time. So based on the fact that there's a model, that Moses was shown a model of the temple, I mean, of the tabernacle and that whole system with the curtains and everything, and the priestly system. There are priests up there too. Okay, you got that. In the celestial realm, I picture cities. I picture avenues, not like we know them. Folks, please, just don't, before you mock any of this or think, gosh, this is a stretch. No. I told you that the thing Moses built was to the celestial tabernacle what the Lamb is to Christ. In other words, it's such a dim shadow. It's not almost not worthy to be compared, but it is based on it. It is based. The elements are the same, just the glory is different. So what you see on earth today, it didn't come out of nowhere. We have cities on earth. We have roads. Interstate 95 goes, you know, from Miami clear up the east coast of the United States. People travel on these avenues. They travel. And they're on the highway, they can go maybe 70 miles an hour. And somebody might be saying, you're basing the celestial world on this? You're damn right I am. Cities. Hubs of travel. Folks, there's some beautiful cities, especially at night. I mean, just read about the New Jerusalem. That's just a hint, an inkling of a city that exists right now in the celestials. There are many more. Jerusalem's just the capital. There are others up there, out there. And just because we can only travel 70 miles an hour on I-95 doesn't mean we can't travel at the speed of light between celestial metropolis A and celestial metropolis Z. Folks, the speed of light, that's pretty fast, but in the realm we're considering, it's nothing. It's like 70 miles an hour on I-95, but there will be avenues of travel. I mean, this is practical. This exists. It's what I'm saying. You, when Moses was on Mount Sinai, the thing that he was shown existed. These cities, I'm telling you, exist in the celestial realm. The book of Revelation tells us that there are 24 elders who appear before God. 24 elders. Translated, ancient ones. These are powerful celestial beings. The Elohim, who created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, plural. Same root word, El, related to God, of God, out of God, and doing everything toward God. They created the heavens and the earth. And I suppose that being 24 of them, it's double the 12 that is the number of administration on earth. 12 is the number of earthly administration. You know why Israel, the apostles, the gates on the New Jerusalem. Okay, well, 24 is the number of celestial government. And there are principalities and powers. Paul says that in Ephesians 6. Principalities, powers, sovereignties, world mights of darkness. But there are also principalities, powers, sovereignties, world mights. These are different degrees, levels of power, of administration. There are also those of the good side. And I think the 24 elders represent 24 sectors that are dotted with cities as far as the eye can see. And if you think that Columbus, Ohio looks good when you're coming up from I-77, and it does, it looks terrific. Columbus, Ohio, coming up at night, oh, it's an amazing thing. That is a dim representation. But it is a model. I mean, it was based on a model. Everything on earth is based on a model. The human body is based on a model that was first in heaven. The tabernacle was based on a model that was first in heaven. Things on earth, ladies and gentlemen, are a reflection of things in the celestial realm. including our roads, including our cities, including our hubs of travel, such as airports, bus stations. It's all there. It's all up there. Why do I say that? Because I want you to look off toward it. I want you to look off toward a reward. That's what Moses did. It's legit. It's legit as hell. It's legit. Jesus Christ himself did it. He looked forward to being glorified. He said, Father, glorify me with the glory I had before with you before the world was. Oh, well, we're too humble to say to God, glorify me. God, glorify me. Ah, I guess we're better than Jesus. Glory's good. It's a good thing to desire. It's a good thing to ask for. And it's going to be fulfilled. But in the meantime, while we're slogging through this slog fest, let's look off as seeing the invisible. I'm painting for you something that is now invisible, but I based my painting on everything that I see on this planet because I know that things on this planet are dim representation of things in the celestial, like the ant is to the space shuttle. So, in closing, occupy yourselves with these things. It's okay. You're allowed to do it. And it makes you staunch. Moses was staunch as seeing the invisible. He was strengthened. You don't get strengthened by vain imaginations. You get strengthened as seeing the invisible when you indulge yourself in God's word. That's where we're getting all this. I'm getting all this from God's word. So it is safe to let your imagination go to the celestial realm. It is good. It is fine. And God is telling us through his word to do it. So do it. Do it.